We shall reap as we sow. In company with my son, I rode to Sydney a distance of 12 miles. We could have taken the cars at the station in Granville, but by driving in our carriage, we could escape the confusion that is ever to be found at railway stations. We also had the advantage of riding straight to the meeting houses, without the inconvenience of changing from the trains to the tram, to be left at some distance from the place of meeting. We had a very peaceful ride, and a very favorable opportunity of conversing together. This was a rare treat, for both of us were so occupied that we had little opportunity for social interchange of thought. We found a good representation of our people at the hall, and I felt constrained by the Spirit of God to speak very plainly to the church. I spoke from the words, "He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." The manner in which the sowing is to be done is presented in the following words: "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." No selfish man is a Christian. Jesus says, "If any many will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Genuine self-denial will be practiced by everyone who follows Christ. Judas undertook to follow Christ, and at the same time to carry out his selfish, covetous plans. He had the same privileges as had the other disciples. He had the same privileges of hearing the lessons of Christ, which plainly presented practical godliness. But he was not always pleased with the plain truth. It cut him. And instead of taking up personal labor with Judas Iscariot, he found fault with the words and works of Christ, and criticized his plain teachings. Instead of being transformed in character, he was cultivating self-love, self-esteem, and was becoming more and more greedy for gain. His love for Christ was not increasing, for he had not that faith which works by love and purifies the soul. Pure religion and undefiled is a religion that is of an experimental character and brings practical results. Every member of the Church of Christ will be tested and proved. To each one, sacred responsibilities are committed, for each one is to be connected with Christ and to labor earnestly and cheerfully as a free moral agent, becoming more and more intelligent in working as a laborer together with God. By practice, he must learn how to pray, putting his whole soul into his petitions. By self-denial, he must learn how to present gifts and offerings to God. He must not consume in selfish indulgence everything he gains, and present nothing to God in acknowledgement of the fact that he is constantly the recipient of heaven's gifts. The Christian will be constantly imparting that which is bestowed upon him. True religion is imitation of Christ. Not one of Christ's true followers will practice self-indulgence in any way when the cause of God is languishing because of the poverty of the people. God means that someone shall supply that which is wanting for the needs of the poorer brethren and for the necessities of his cause. The kingdom of heaven must be the first consideration. To follow Christ means continually to study his life of self-denial and from high motives to practice his good works. To follow means to render obedience. We are under service to God, and we must obey his commands. No soldier is counted a follower of his commander unless he obeys his general's orders. The master says, "Learn of me." Keep your eye on the model, for Christ gave his life that he might become the teacher of men. Keep yourselves from idols. He desires that everyone that believes in him should learn how to live his life and practice his virtues. Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. What is righteousness? It is the satisfaction that Christ gave the divine law in our behalf. He bore the test on every point on which the sinner must bear it. He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, and through all the temptations that it was possible for the synagogue of Satan to bring upon him, he did not yield in the least degree to the power of the enemy.
Righteousness means being good and doing good. As children of God, are we developing a character that is Christ-like? Are we individually working daily at the vocation of being a Christian? And through the rich impartation of the gift of the Holy Spirit, are we making straight paths for our feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way? The lame are those who are not firmly established in the truth, who are spiritually halting, having defects of character, and needing the help of a correct example. If we make crooked paths, others make our errors an excuse for deviating from the path of righteousness. It is not enough to believe sound doctrine. We must put it into practice. A religion built on selfishness is worthless. It is a deplorable, sleazy fabric. The apostle plainly declares what is the duty of the individual members of the church. He says, "Let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." The promise of God is that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The Lord will not forget your labors of love. In this country, times are very hard and money is very scarce. Some will learn lessons of economy at this time who never knew what economy was before. Yet we should not forget the service of God, and that He owns us, and that He owns the world. Though we are all poor and unable to do large things, the Lord calls upon every soul to practice self-denial in this time of scarcity, but be able to give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, but with cheerful gratitude for God's unspeakable gift. We are to engage in this work seriously, remembering that now is the time to lay up treasure in heaven and to send it on beforehand. We shall have to do this through strict self-denial, but every man, woman, and youth who claims to be the property of Christ has a work to do in building up the kingdom of God. Now is the sowing time. The reaping time is in the future. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. If you do your best, if you impart to others that which you have, God will see your labor of love and will see the measure of every act of self-denial for His name's sake. You will be tested and proved, and it may be seen how deep is your love for Christ and your neighbor, and these tests will come closer and closer upon us. Churches must be erected. Wherever there is a little flock, it must be fed with meat in due season. The last message of mercy is to be given to the world, even to the uttermost part of the earth. Those who have physical strength must employ that strength in the service of God. Those who can obtain work are to work faithfully and to improve the opportunities they see to help those who cannot obtain labor. God is able to make His grace abound toward you, giving you a heart of tenderness and love for the souls of those for whom Christ has paid the ransom of His life. That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may about to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Let every believer in the truth for this time awake to duty. Instead of studying how to gratify yourselves and follow your inclinations, study how you may imitate Christ in self-denial and thus be able to help and to save the purchase of His blood. Relieve the wants of the needy
and work to help the weak and the poorer sister churches. The Lord has made us His almoners. He places in our hands His gifts, in order that we shall divide with those who are needy, and it is this practical giving that will be to us a sure panacea for all selfishness. By thus expressing love to those who need help, you will cause the hearts of the needy to give thanksgiving to God, because He has bestowed the grace of benevolence upon the brethren. It is by the exercise of this practical love that the churches draw nearer together in Christian unity. Through the love of the brethren, the love of God is increased, because He has not forgotten those who were in distress. The ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. The faith of the brethren in God is increased, and they are led to commit their soul and bodies unto God as to a faithful Creator. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men.
Giving for the necessity of the saints and for the advancement of the kingdom of God is preaching practical sermons which testify that those who give have not received the grace of God in vain. A living example of an unselfish character, which is after the example of Christ, has great power upon men. Those who do not live for self will not use up every dollar meeting their supposed wants and supplying their conveniences, but will bear in mind that they are Christ's followers and that there are others who are in need of food and clothing. Those who live to gratify appetite and selfish desire will lose the favor of God and will lose the heavenly reward. They testify to the world that they have not genuine faith, and when they seek to impart to others a knowledge of present truth, the world will regard their words as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Let everyone show his faith by his work. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love, and of our boasting in your behalf. After the service, we had a most precious social meeting. W.C. White spoke, presenting some precious thoughts, and melting testimonies were born. The meeting was blessed of God, and we knew that Jesus was in the midst, and by His Holy Spirit, was moving upon hearts. We were soon in our carriage again, and returning to Granville.